Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn 113, God the Father of Creation, 113. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to be a follower of mine, he must leave self behind. He must take up his cross and follow me. Let us pray. O Lord our God, whose Son Jesus Christ refused to turn stones into bread, save us from using any power we have to satisfy the demands of selfishness in face of the greater needs of others. Lord, whose Son refused to leap from the pinnacle, save us from displaying any skill we may have to win instant popularity in face of nobler calls on our ability. Lord, whose Son refused to bow down to a false god, save us from offering our devotion to cheap or easy religion in face of the harder path you call upon us to follow. Forgive us, Lord, for failures in these and other ways. Give us wisdom to discern behind every subtle temptation the ploy of the Prince of Darkness. And in face of all that is devilishly attractive, help us to choose and follow the will of God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 181, For the Beauty of the Earth, 181. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the second book of Samuel, chapter 5, at verse 1. 2 Samuel, chapter 5, at verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel, and you shall become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years. And then moving on to verse 9, David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the supporting terraces inward. And he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse 1. Mark chapter 6, at verse 1. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went round teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 214, New Every Morning, 214.
Thank you.
Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, at verse 7, he summoned the 12 and sent them out in pairs on a mission. All down the centuries, people have been going out on Christian missions. Ever since this incident, which we read about today, this incident in the earthly life of Jesus, ever since he summoned his 12 disciples and sent them out on a mission. It's not everyone's cup of tea, going out on a mission. It is done sometimes by congregations of the church, trying maybe to revive the life of their ailing membership, or sending people out with envelopes to ask members to contribute towards a special appeal. Some church folk go on such missions. Some, on the other hand, feel that it's not the job for them, not their forte. No good at approaching people and broaching the subject of the church and its needs and its claims. That's one reason why they're sent out in pairs, so that each can encourage the other. Maybe one of the pair is better at approaching people than the other is. Anyway, the task is not so daunting when there are two of you going knocking at doors. It doesn't happen to us very often that we're sent out in pairs on a mission. Maybe it's never happened to us at all. But there is often something to be said for it. It can make people more aware of the church. It can make the church more effective. Let's just exercise our imagination for a moment. Imagine that it did happen to us to be sent out in pairs on a mission for the church, just as Jesus sent his first disciples out. How would it go down with the people we were sent to? Would people perhaps misunderstand? Would they jump to conclusions and say, oh yes, this is the church again, appealing for money? They're always needing money. Is that the kind of reaction that we would provoke if we were sent out in pairs on a mission? It is true that the church needs money, but much more than that, far more urgently than that, the church needs people. If it doesn't have members and worshippers, it doesn't need money because it doesn't need to be there at all. None of us wants to consider that possibility. But we still get people who want to be counted as members of the church, but who are uncommitted to the church's work. Maybe they have some vague idea that being a member of the church provides some security, but they don't want it to make any demands on them. They don't want it to put them out of their usual routine. I suppose all congregations have a few members like that from time to time, and some congregations have more than a few. So maybe there will sometimes be a case for going round knocking at doors. But there's more to it than that. Jesus sent his disciples out in pairs on a mission. Sometimes a church has to send some of its members out on a mission of one kind or another. It has to find people who are willing to go, and it has to give them some kind of preparation for going. All that is true. But Jesus sends out his present-day disciples. He sends out you and me to represent him and to challenge people to commit their life to him. We don't necessarily do that by knocking at doors and approaching people directly. We do it all the time by the way we live. Maybe I've mentioned before a great friend of mine of earlier days, a minister called Jimmy Stewart. He came to the ministry later in life and only ever had one charge in his lifetime. And he was fond of telling about the lady who spoke to him on the way out of church one Sunday and said, "I like you, Mr. Stewart. You're aye that simple." Jimmy didn't mind being called simple. To him, in one sense, that was what was required of a Christian, especially of a Christian minister, to keep the message simple, to put it across in simple terms so that ordinary people could understand. Now, that was certainly one of the requirements of the mission on which Jesus sent his disciples out. When we look at the way they were instructed to go about this mission, we can learn a lot. We can look, for example, at the way they were to be dressed. They were to wear sandals, Jesus said, and not take two tunics. Their dress was to be of the simplest. Why was that? Surely it was so that when they caught people's attention, it should not be because of their manner of dress. It would not be because they were dressed flamboyantly. They would not want people to be able to say they were dressed too grandly or too richly. People would not be encouraged to acts of charity or to a life of generosity if they were being invited to it by men who'd obviously spent a great deal on dressing themselves up. So they were to be dressed simply. So how does Jesus send us out into the world to carry out his mission in our day? Surely the same principle holds good. To be his disciples, to be his representatives in the part of the world where we are, we have to keep our dress simple and our lifestyle simple. Not to attract people's attention by being elaborate or extravagant. Keep it simple. Simple dress, then. What about their equipment? What were they to take with them for the enterprise they were setting out on? Well, Mark, the gospel writer, says Jesus told them to take only a staff, a walking stick, nothing else. What else would they maybe have taken with them if he'd not told them that? What kind of things would people take with them on a journey such as this? Well, maybe we can gather something of that from what Jesus says they're not to take. They were not to take bread or a wallet or a coin in their belt, not to carry food or money. People would give them hospitality. They were to rely on being provided for, not to expect to have to provide the basic necessities themselves. When he mentions a wallet, what does that mean? It may mean, so we're told, either a kind of traveler's bag or a collecting bag. I'm sure that here, as so often in the gospel, Jesus intended both meanings. Don't take a traveler's bag and don't take a collecting bag. If they didn't take a traveler's bag, it meant they would not be taking food and provisions. So as well as going out with simplicity, they'd be going out with trust. Isn't that so true to the Christian way, even today? Isn't that the way Jesus expects you and me to go through life in service to him? Not cluttering ourselves up with supplies of this world's goods. If a traveller has so many goodies in his bag that his mind is taken up with looking forward to using them and eating them and with how he'll replace them when they're done, he's not going to progress so far with his travelling, is he? If the disciples on their mission had been all taken up with what they had in their traveller's bag, they wouldn't have been much use as missionaries either. And no more are we. No more are we of any great use as ambassadors of Jesus in the daily life of the world if we're cluttered up, especially in our mind and our thinking, cluttered up with the trappings of this world. Some things they would need, of course, but people in their kindness would provide those things. So don't take a traveler's bag. Don't take a collecting bag. Don't go to people equipped in such a way that people will think you've come looking for money or looking for gifts of some kind. The disciples had come to give. They had not come to get. They had a message to give, a message about God, a God who knows and cares and loves. They'd come to represent that God and in his name to bring healing and comfort and spiritual uplift. They had no thought of lining their own pockets or seeing themselves right. They trusted that what they needed would somehow be provided in the loving care of the God they went to tell about. He summoned the 12 and sent them out in pairs on a mission. That mission has never really ceased, has it? Still he sends his disciples out. Still he bids you and me go to the world around us and spread the word of the God who loves and cares and heals. And still he bids us go on this mission in the same way and with the same kind of equipment as his original disciples went. We heard a bit about the things they were not to take with them, but in fact, thinking about it, we realize the things they were to take. There were three things which they took with them, and those are the same three things that you and I are expected to take on our mission of service to the Lord in our own day. So what are those three things? Simplicity. In the case of the first disciples, it was emphasized as simplicity of dress, but for us it just means simplicity, pure and simple. Keeping things simple, especially ourselves, not complicated, not elaborate, not high-flown, simple so that we can bring his simple message to ordinary people like ourselves. Simple. And trusting, there are things we need in this life, physical, material, necessary things, but the Lord knows we need them, and we don't need to get anxious about them. We go on in his service, and we can trust him to see us through. Simplicity, trust, and the attitude of giving rather than getting. Looking for ways to give, ways to serve, not ways of making ourselves bigger or richer or more comfortable. Jesus told his disciples about those things when he sent them out. And this incident we're considering today, this is only the preliminary mission. This was a short-term, small-scale enterprise confined to their own area. In the course of time, he sent them out to tell the world. And from time to time, he had to remind his men and keep reminding them about the way they were meant to go through life. And in the same way, he needs to keep on reminding us. Simplicity, trust. The attitude of giving rather than getting. A brief mission to begin with, a wider mission later. It was only a small beginning, but it was the beginning of something which is still going on. Something in which you and I are invited to take part. What a challenge, and what a privilege. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn number 352, Over a Thousand Tongues, 352. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give you thanks and praise and dedicate to you our thoughts, our gifts, our deeds, the working of our hands, the thinking of our mind, the loving of our heart. We thank you for your goodness, which has brought us safely to this hour, for all your gifts helping us through life, most of all for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was tempted as we are and overcame, for the cross he carried and the death he died for our sake, for his victory over sin and death, and the hope we have in him of the life eternal. We pray for your church on earth. Inspire us all with the zeal to serve you. We pray for the world, that everywhere there may be peace. Bless our Queen and the Royal House, and guide those in positions of authority and leadership. We commend to your care those who are ill or having life difficult. Bless those dear to our own hearts and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration and example of those who have finished the course of this earthly life in your faithful service. Help us to follow them as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring us with them to the life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. A couple of things to mention, friends, before we close today. We've had an intimation from the Our Dear United Free Church, popularly known as the Tin Kirk. The church there will be open for quiet prayer on Friday and Saturday of this week. Friday the 23rd from 2 till 4 in the afternoon, and Saturday the 24th from 10 in the morning till 12 noon. And tea and coffee will be available afterwards. The National Prayer Weekend, they say, is the beginning of us praying for our community in a way that we haven't done recently, and they invite us to join them if we are free and ready to do so. And there's another intimation from Stevenston High Kirk. Some members there are going on a sponsored walk on Thursday of this week, Thursday the 22nd, in support of Rain Edge International, a Christian ministry reaching a deprived area of Nakuru. Now, the Reverend Scott Cameron and his wife and family are going out to Nakuru in a few weeks' time and will be taking clothes and shoes and donations of various kinds. So anybody who's willing to take part in this sponsored walk, it's leaving from the High Kirk car park Thursday morning at 9:15. And we commend it to your attention. Our closing praise today is hymn 470, Jesus Shall Reign, 470.
Thank you.
friends, I apologize. I ought to have mentioned the midweek service as well. The midweek service on Wednesday morning has been in abeyance for its summer break, but resumes on Wednesday this week, the 21st, 10:30 in the small hall, and everyone will be welcome. And now the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.